Welcome to Fired Up California. I am William Del Pilar, your Californian conservative Latino, breaking down some of the bigger stories as well as some that have gone under the radar. Tonight I continue the talk of Gavin Newsom, his rhetoric of hate, driving violence, and his lack of any decency to stop. Why? He wants to be president and feels going hard left will make him the front runner and lead to him winning the nomination. Then we'll talk about California not wanting to clean its voter rolls for obvious reasons. Every name on the roll, per law, gets a mail-in ballot sent to them. And then we'll close with a big story of SB 771, called the California Freedom from Hate Crimes Act. The irony. And it's ironic because it's actually a lie as they determine what is hate. And this law is more aligned with Mussolini's fascism than democracy. When will the GOP take up the messaging of who the real fascists are? They're Democrats and they project their hate onto us, sadly, successfully. I can't remember when a Republican Party member has gone, here's why the Democrat Party is actually the party of fascism. Not once have I heard that. And with time permitting, we'll close out with the Cali Blitz, where we talk about various topics from L.A. and corrupt audits, Newsom laws that allow more protests, hate violence, and property damage. Newsom thinking he's a representative of the president to virtue signal climate change agreements is another topic on the Cali Blitz. Then more on the Charlie Kirk hate, this time in Chula Vista, California, right down the road from me. And finally, how does Newsom and the Democrats destroy what is the fourth largest economy in the world? Who knows? But before we begin, don't forget to click the thumbs up and like while you listen. I truly appreciate that. It goes far. And yeah, I just remembered. Make sure you bookmark grumbliesmedia.com and check out our swag. We got new swag. We have t-shirts, hats, and mugs. Let me show you the mug here real quick, my friends. You'll love this. You will love this. Oops. Where's it at? Where's it at? Ah, here we go. I really love this mug, and I have a copy here, right here. The classic Grumblings mug, 15 ounce. It's a big one. It's my favorite item out of the store. You can swipe on the QR code there or go to grumblingsmedia.com. But don't forget to follow us on your favorite platforms like YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, ePandora, under the handle Grumblings Media. And with all that out of the way, let's get right on down to it. It's a tight show today. So, the California rhetoric fuels violence and scrutiny. So, Newsom's relentless attacks on federal immigration enforcement and conservative leaders, well, it kind of coincides with violent assaults on ICE facilities. And he's not the only one, but this is a California podcast, so I want to focus on him. But what it does do, it raises urgent questions about the real-world consequences of progressive rhetoric. President Trump, multiple assassination attempts. Charlie Kirk, successful assassination attempt. The rhetoric of hate from Newsom, Kamala Harris, Karen Bass. I'm trying to think, the skinny looking big head dude, Adam Schiff. You know, all these Democrats in California, it's just rhetoric of hate after rhetoric of hate. And as they continue to do that, they stoke hostility against law enforcement. And the line between what they're doing, that's grandstanding and incitement, that's very thin. And in my heart, they want the incitement. They want the violence. They want to scare us because they can't stop us with the debate. Not to mention not cleaning the voter rolls, which we'll get to shortly. The pattern is unmistakable. Inflammatory statements followed by real-world violence. And it's not just them. It's, as I've said since I started this podcast, it's the institutions of academia. A taxpayer-funded university in Riverside, a professor there has openly endorsed terrorism and disruptive acts, specifically against the police. What's that do? It further exposes the radicalization that's fostering in these leftist institutions. I'm sick of you conservative parents giving me every damn excuse in the book as to why you send your kid to college. And then you look at me as if I'm going to believe your kid's not going to get indoctrinated. Please. And you're the one going into a few hundred thousand dollars into debt while they come back home hating you. My proof? all these kids who told their grandparents, people my age, I just look good for my age, but yeah, a lot of my friends are grandparents now, you can't see your kid unless you take the jab. That broke my heart to see my friends not being able to see other kids, and then the morons actually taking the jab. And what's even worse, these same parents, they foot the bill for these punk-ass kids. I know a family. Man, this is why we're losing the war. We don't have the spine to stand up to our own family to do what's right with decisions we make for them. Instead, I gotta love my kids, so you give them everything. That's not love. You can't buy love nor respect. These stakes are no longer theoretical. When rhetoric turns reckless and institutions are fractured, innocent lives are put at risk, as we saw with Charlie Kirk. So, last week, as we all know, Newsom appeared on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert with his hateful rhetoric describing ICE arrests of illegal aliens as, quote, authoritarian actions of an authoritarian government, unquote. Remember, this is a guy who forced the police, and I'm giving too much credit to the police here, to go arrest a guy at paddleboarding with nobody around him for COVID. Other arrests. If you didn't have a mask on, well, he dined maskless. Shut down public schools without parents having a say. Supported when the Biden admin labeled parents who went to school board meetings to complain domestic terrorists. And he's the one talking about authoritarian. Newsom is using symbology with many of these decisions he's doing recently against ICE and climate change. He's dressing it up as legitimate policy. In fact, he's the first state to prohibit federal law enforcement, specifically ICE. You can't wear masks. Now, that's the virtue signaling I'm talking about. He has no legal right to do that. And he claims it's to keep them from hiding identities and reducing targeting of children in classrooms or patients in hospitals. He's framing this as pushback against Trump and Stephen Miller's secret police tactics. See, this is why he keeps going, because we're not fighting back. Every single politician needs to be pulling pulling the curtain down on him. Why? We need to say it. He wants violence. He wants these federal agents to be doxxed. He knows that that's what will happen. He wants them doxxed, people. He threatened the Secretary of Homeland Security, going to have a bad day. And this was after he signed numerous anti-ICE and pro-illegal alien bills that the legislature had passed. Again, clearly a threat to Attorney Bill Essendley. And obviously this continues. After Charlie Kirk shooting, it continues. Why? Again, he's positioning himself as a 2028 Democratic president frontrunner. And he thinks he can do that by attacking Trump, by having two 16-year-olds. What would happen if those 16-year-olds were doxxed and something happened to them? Eventually, conservatives, Thomas Sowell said it. You push, you push, you push. That's where I got the civil rights movement going. Black Americans said, enough, you Democrat, Jim Crow representatives. And they started, and the civil rights movement began, pushed and passed by Black leadership and Republicans. Yeah, that's right. It wasn't just one coalition. It was a bunch of coalitions. I'm sick and tired of, you know, it was you Republicans. It was only Blacks. It was only women. It was only Asians. It was only Latinos. No, you look at history, look at the coalitions. They're made up of everybody. Last I saw, those kids that were killed in Mississippi were white Jewish kids. So coalitions are built. And that's what's being destroyed right now, is the coalitions that make us America. Now I'm getting off topic and I'm starting to ramble with that, but my point with Newsom is he's doing this to be the front runner, and he thinks attacking Trump will make that happen. He called ICE Trump's private domestic army. This was just hours before the Dallas shooting. Now, he's remained silent since the Dallas shooting, but not his staff, not his minions, people working directly for him. Look, we must take our messaging to blue districts. I had Mike Netter on last week. I like what he had to say, but I completely disagree with his view that the old ways of campaigning don't work in lieu of tech. You have to have a combination of both. It's easy to blame other factions when things don't work. When you succeed but everything else fails, you got to look at it. Well, what did I actually succeed in and how much of an impact did it have? And then you look at that, you take the good ideas, you try to grow it out. And we have to take the good ideas of what Mike Netter did and grow it out. But you can't grow it out without having a ground game. A combination of both is the only way to stop the dominance of Democrats in California. And in fact, the Democrats got a robust ground game being driven by the youth. And that goes along with their tech platform. Republican youth, I'm sorry, man. I love y'all. I can't get to Cal State San Marcos, my alma mater, kids to give me a call back. I've got inroads built with the Young Republicans, great group of people. And I'm trying to give them a platform, but it's tough. But I tell you, these younger kids, the Republicans, and I'm talking about my Republican cohorts. You got to pay them to walk. Yeah, every Democrat, they're out there walking on their own. You either have the passion when you're young, you learn the ropes, that's how you go. If you want to charge, there's going to be angst. You're not going to grow. You're always going to be in the losers column. Period. End of story. That's how today's world works. Yeah. And to push back, when people are saying, well, the Democrats suck too. No. Their ground game is robust. Their tech game is robust. What's killing them is they've gone full-blown socialism. And their policies are driving voters away, not the mechanisms they use to communicate. So the attacks on ICE facilities is happening everywhere. L.A., Paramount, California, they were throwing rocks, cinder blocks, Molotov cocktails, and other projectiles at ICE agents and vehicles. Instead of the Democrats saying we need to protest peacefully, they blame Trump. Look, I've seen these strategy and tactics in Panama with two dictators. And if y'all think, liberals, that Democrats are there to help you, no. Let's say y'all have taken power. Then y'all going to start eating your own, as we saw at an ICE facility. Antifa arguing with just a Mexican protester. They're not here to help you. They're here to hurt you. In Iowa or Idaho, a school superintendent lying out his tail, $300,000 a year job. First of all, they illegally gave him the job. Was finally arrested. Well, William, they won't do jobs. They're doing jobs Americans don't want to do. No, that's a job in America should have had. Taken away from an illegal alien who was, 15 years past his visa, if I remember correctly. But you see my point? We have to take care of Americans first. Democrats don't care about you Americans. They use you like pawns because they see the illegals eventually gaining citizenship and becoming another bloc. And to Black America, those illegals are mostly Latinos. They're my brethren. They're seen as a replacement. I mean, these protesters were also blocking freeways, setting vehicles on fire. This happened in Ventura and Santa Barbara counties as well. This reflects a pattern of ongoing protester agitation targeting ICE. They get in the agents' faces and they push the boundaries. They're hoping to provoke extreme responses, the Democrats are, and they want to further polarize the immigration debate. And all that culminated with Joshua John, 29, attacking an unmarked van, wanting to kill ICE agents, instead kill two of the detainees. Or at least one, but I want to say two. And there was an unspent showcasing with anti-ICE. Well, we're not sure what sparked the answer. You think it wasn't the anti-ICE giving you a clue? And they flat out lie. Cash Patel, the FBI director, who's a man's man. That's why they hate him. He won't back down. He gets in their face, and he's creating results. That's why they hate him. They denigrate him. If this was the other way around, they'd be calling us racist because Cash Patel's a brown Indian. But instead, they denigrate him simply because he's doing his job and doing it righteously. Ambush. There was an ambush in Prairie Land, Texas, right before the ICE shooting that happened. Now, Vice President J.D. Vance went after Newsom. You can go straight to hell. Newsom said, no thanks, J.D. I will not be going straight to hell today. See, Newsom's what you call a paper tiger. Easily destroyed. So I hope he wins the nomination. But it does burn me up how his lies and his rhetoric of hate is creating violence. Remember, this man will screw us harder than he screwed his best friend's wife. Never forget that. Then there's the media rhetoric. But I don't want to talk about the media's rhetoric per se. I want to talk about the shooting at the ABC affiliate KXTV, Sacramento. And that was last week. No one was injured. But the accused, Anabel Hernandez-Santana, a former lobbyist, teachers union, I believe, was charged with firing into the building. And they found writings talking about Trump and other federal officials. And a note said, quote, for hiding Epstein and ignoring red flags, do not support Patel, Bongino, and AG Pam Bondi. They're next, unquote. Now, Sacramento County District Attorney Thien Ho, he said there's circumstantial evidence that Hernandez had a political motive behind the shooting. You think? Threatening Trump's political appointees, you think? But they also said that there are indications that the motive behind the shooting of the station was political from the perspective of the suspension of Jimmy Kimmel. That this was politically motivated because of that, partially. See, Jimmy Kimmel's rhetoric of hate is also pushing and condoning the violence, in my opinion. Court of law would determine that, but they would never see it taken that far. But we got to do something about all this rhetoric of hate. Free speech, yeah, I get it. I mean, that's why it would lose. But man, I tell you, it won't stop until leadership forces it to stop. We don't want to see violence start happening from our side to their side. But as Thomas Sowell said, eventually it gets to that point. Again, Black Americans said enough, and they started the civil rights movement. So Hernandez-Santana faces firearms and assault charges in state court, plus federal charges as well. I think he was temporarily detained and let go, and the feds picked him up because the state let him go. You let a nut job go on the street. Again, my fellow Democrat, or rather my Democrats out there, they let a nut job on the street. Somebody who's mentally unstable, in my opinion, and you're okay with that? See, everybody's okay until they get shot at, they get robbed, they get mugged, they get a rock thrown at them. That's when they start to care. The Palisades fire, you think those Democrats would at least wake up? Now they're not. They're not. Then there's Stephen Miller. Gavin Newsom, via proxy, called him SS. And that stands for the Nazi Schwarzstaffel. That's an all caps post, you know, the SS. It's considered anti-Semitic and is a form of Holocaust denial. That came from two little punks manning his account, to my knowledge. Anti-Semites is how I view them. And there's Newsom, not saying a word. Neither one of them wanted respond. Now Newsom followed up calling Miller a fascist. Again, rhetoric of hate. The rhetoric of hate coming from Governor Newsom. A man who y'all don't realize is racist as racists come. Look at his policies. What have they done for you, Latinos, my brethren Latinos? What have they done for you? Nothing. The anti-Semitic nature of referring to Miller as SS, that's considered a form of Holocaust denial. Then we have the UC Riverside professor, Dylan Rodriguez. Talking about Millennials Are Killing Capitalism podcast. This was past June. It just came out not long ago. He described wanting to be a, quote, terrorist, unquote. Talking about white supremacy. Yo, ese Latino, vete al carajo, estúpido idiota. Everybody wants to jump on the white supremacy. White supremacy. Yeah, look in the mirror. I'm Latino. My grandmother's Afro-Caribbean. My mother looks like a little Korean woman. All my cousins have that beautiful caramel color skin. I'm tired of Latinos talking about white supremacy. I'm this guy. quote, I want to be that kind of terrorist, unquote, who terrorizes civilization. He praised former Hunter College instructor Shalane Rodriguez. And he wrecked a pro-life student table. Chased a journalist with a machete. You chase me with a machete, you're going down. This was all part of a black radicalism tradition, including Harriet Tubman and Ashanti Alston, per what they're saying. What they're doing is they're denigrating the legacy of Harriet Tubman is what they're doing. It's like all these people who want safe spaces, only blacks. And then they invoke the name of Martin Luther King. Really? Are you that stupid? It's indoctrination in our school systems. Rodriguez voiced support for protesters disabling ICE vehicles in SoCal hotel parking lot, stating, quote, he would be happy and proud to know them as it disrupts state power and denormalizes its prestige, unquote. Well, actually, I don't know if that's a quote, but that's what he said along those lines. Then he's called Casey Goonan, maybe it may seem more like Casey the Goon, who goes by they, them. How about stupid and moron is what he should go by. He was convicted of firebombing a university police car. And Rodriguez called him a singular intellectual and precious colleague. This guy is bad. This guy is teaching people. He's freaking teaching your kids. Why do you think I get mad at you conservatives? Look, Newsom's inflammatory rhetoric, it's coinciding with attacks on federal agents. Him and everybody, every other Democrat. People like this Rodriguez guy. Then you got to shoot in the ABC affiliate. It exposes the media complicity in all this violence. Look, California's radical drift, it shows a deeper national threat. Unchecked extremism across politics, media, and academia. And it demands urgent oversight before the next election cycle. We're the oversight people at the ballot box. All right, let's move on to the DOJ lawsuits over voter roll denials. The DOJ made a decisive move to safeguard election integrity. The DOJ has launched legal action against six Democrat-led states for obstruction of lawful requests for voter registration data. And this comes weeks before pivotal midterms. The lawsuits was filed just this past week, and it targets deep blue bastions like California, where officials have brazenly refused to clean up bloated voter rolls. Bloated voter rolls riddled with ineligible names. Look, this defiance not only violates federal transparency laws, it creates greater concern about systematic voter fraud that could tip national outcomes. Let me be straight up honest here. Kamala Harris won every state where voter ID is not necessary. Now, some of you are going to come back, no, not all those states. Yes. All the states. Because, yeah, you have voter ID. No, I don't. Well, I'll just fill this form out. Or it's okay. We'll fill this out. Or other ways to get around it. Every state Kamala won. Every state that had hard laws, she lost. What's that tell you? And most of these states have mail-in voting. So, yeah, you should be scared. Stalin said it's not who votes, but who counts them. Look, we conservatives have long warned about the dangers of manipulated rolls, especially in one-party-controlled election machinery. Think of Chicago in the 50s, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. So the DOJ is finally stepping in. The battle lines are now drawn. We have transparency versus stonewalling, accountability versus institutional rot. This isn't just about voter lists. It's about restoring the faith in the democratic process and ensuring every legal vote counts. Both sides think there's too much voter fraud. I welcome an investigation. You know, Biden had 82 million votes. Kamala got like 70. And where'd those 12 million votes go? That's what leftists were asking. I'm like, are you that dumb? They're like, yeah, we need an investigation. I'm like, yeah, please investigate. You'll find out 12 million of those 82 million that Biden got came from Tom, Dick, and Harry, and those who are dead or illegal. So this is Ms. Harmeet Dhillon. She is a Californian. The DOJ Civil Rights Division had filed the lawsuits in federal district courts against California, Michigan, Minnesota, New York, New Hampshire, and Pennsylvania. all of them for failing to produce statewide voter registration lists. And they invoked, or she invoked, the National Voter Registration Act, the Help America Vote, and Civil Rights Act of 1960. Now, these lawsuits follow similar ones from against Maine and Oregon. So that's 8 states. Let me repeat those states. California blue, Michigan blue, Minnesota blue, New York blue, New Hampshire. I don't know what New Hampshire is. I want to say blue. And Pennsylvania, purple. And then there's Oregon blue, Maine. I want to say that's blue, but I'm not sure. So the lawsuits empower the Attorney General to enforce NVRA and HAVA. In essence, they're saying you got to maintain your voter rolls and clean them up. And this is all coming about because the claims that these states have withheld lists the concealed dead voters, illegal aliens, former residents, and duplicates. And they get mailed out. I had a duplicate sent to me. Now, my reason was legit. That happens. But it happened. There's somebody else who had 3 or 4 that I know. There's one person reported there were 12. Another reported over a couple dozen went to one house because all the illegals had put that house. Now, Harmeet Dhillon stated, quote, states are required to safeguard American elections by complying with our federal election laws, highlighting how clean rolls prevent voting fraud and abuse while rebuilding public confidence in election processes. So, Dhillon is performing a, what I'm trying to say here. She's going all out. She is pushing this to the forefront, as she should. Now, the California lawsuit named Secretary of State Shirley Weber. I'm trying to do 2 things at once here. I'm sorry. I forgot to upload a couple of items for one of the other segments. Ah, I screwed up. Anyway, there we go. Now I'm set. So, the California lawsuit, it was filed in the Central District of California. It names Secretary of State Shirley Weber, who's an incompetent buffoon. The only reason she's there is because she was appointed. No, she may have been voted in, but she's dumb as a rock. Dumb as a rock. So she was named in the lawsuit. And the DOJ initially requested California's voter registration list and related data, including responses to the some surveys on duplicates, deaths, and non-citizens. Now, California sought more time, and they were granted them more time. Now they're playing, well, we got voter registration privacy laws. You know, every state can claim that. I'm serious. Every state can damn claim that. But at the end of the day, I got news for you. There is nobody who can sit there and what I'm trying to say here. What I'm trying to say is, you're questioning the federal government on privacy? They have better security than you guys do. Y'all are the ones who've been caught leaking all the time. But anyway, that's their excuse. Now, California says state privacy laws, as I said. Now, the DOJ demanded a full electronic copy under the Civil Rights Act. This is going to go to court. Hopefully, it can get fast-tracked. In fact, I'm hoping to just go straight to the Supreme Court. Trump requested to be seen by them. I don't know how that can happen or if it can happen. And California has only provided partial responses and has denied full access to the requested voter list. Shirley Weber called it, quote, a blatant overreach by the federal government, unquote. No, it's not. If you're not cleaning the voter rolls, somebody's got to get in there and clean it for you. They ignore the law. It took a lawsuit to get L.A. County to clean their voter rolls. Then they didn't want to clean it. They had to go back to court. Now, why is this important? Well, during the 2020 COVID, they passed a law that said every individual on the voter roll that is active will get a mail-in ballot. Well, how is it we're like one of the most populous states in the union? We have the lowest death rate tolls. You would think it would be higher considering everybody goes to California, used to retire, along with Arizona, a couple others. But the point is, that's why they don't want to clean the voter rolls. They want all these active people, illegals active, dead people active, old people active, people who left the state active still. Why? Because all these ballots get sent out somewhere. Again, one family had 12. Then you had the people knocking at the door. Hey, give me your ballot. I'll turn it in. No, they don't. They open them up, fix it, then they turn them in. Oh, well, what proof do you have? What proof do you have that it doesn't happen because there is no chain of custody? That's my point in making that statement. There is no chain of custody. My proof, we're winning as Republicans the night of the election. We wake up 4 weeks later, Democrats squeak out a victory. Just enough votes are found via mail-in to squeak out a win. Rick Grenell with Fix California has been fighting this legally since 2021. Look, federal pressure is forcing Democrat-led states to answer for years of election mismanagement, and they're still fighting it. Why? Because this is potentially exposing the machinery behind voter roll manipulation and stonewalling. Look, midterms are approaching. These interventions could trigger a seismic shift toward real transparency and tightening the reins on states that defy federal law. California legislation sparks debate online speech controls. This is a big one, people. California SB 771 was rushed through during national mourning over Charlie Kirk's assassination. And it hands the state sweeping power to fine, penalize social media platforms for amplifying hate link content. Example, if I say, and I have said it more than once, transgender women are men. That's considered hate. See, so they want that completely censored. Now, Newsom calling it fascist, calling someone fascist, they would tell the social media platforms that's not deemed hate. You see who's calling the shots on what is free speech and what isn't? The Democrats. And they're calling it a civil rights expansion. It's not. It's far from it. It's the exact opposite. It's a direct threat to free speech. It's pressuring platforms into aggressive censorship. Why? Well, let's have the algorithm not allow that. Why? Because they don't want to be penalized. It's blackmail. Now, this is on Newsom's desk. And it's going to pass. He has like till, I want to say December 12th or something like that to sign it. And if he doesn't sign it, it automatically becomes law unless he vetoes it. He doesn't want his name attached to it, but he doesn't want to piss off his Democrat base. So he's going to let it slide without signing it. And when questioned about it, I never signed that law. You never vetoed it. But see, he finds that wiggle room. That's why because he's a white supremacist liar. At his core, at his heart, he is what most rich white Democrats are. They're supremacists themselves. They view us as too stupid to know how to live our lives, too stupid to know how to educate our kids, too stupid to know what God to pray to. In fact, they don't want us to pray to God. They want us to pray to government. So, yeah, in my eyes, they will always be the party of supremacy. They will always be the party of Jim Crow. They will always be the party that fought against women's rights. They will always be the party that told black American women, you don't need a daddy, a father. We're your father. We're your daddy. That happened in the 60s. So this will likely be struck down in court. But that's not the point. California keeps pushing Gestapo-style tactics to silence opposition. Fascism, by definition, begins with the suppression of free speech. And Democrats accuse conservatives of fascism while practicing it themselves, weaponizing speech control under the guise of protection. You need proof? Look no further than Newsom's COVID hypocrisy. He was maskless at the French Laundry, eating all that food on donor, you know what? While we all had to be masked and we had to stay locked indoors. He shut down public schools while his own kids went to private schools. Do as I say, not as I do. That's the playbook of Gavin Newsom, of California Democrats, of the Democratic Party. Look in the mirror. Is what they need to do, and they never will, because when they look in the mirror, they smile. I like what I'm looking at. Why? Because they're consolidating power. It supposedly applies California civil rights laws to social media platforms with over $100 million in annual revenue. And it treats algorithmic content distribution as a separate act from user-generated messages. That's a non-relevant point. Oh, no, William, your post won't get censored. No, but you're telling the algorithm to censor not only my post, but every post similar. See, that's your way of getting around it and publicly stating, no, we're not censoring you, son. You still post. Penalties are up to $500,000 for reckless violations, $1 million for intentional, and doubling if minors are involved. Now, the legislation cites rising hate crimes, including a 400% increase in anti-LGBTQ plus disinformation. You know why it's at 400% and a 31% rise? Is America First is considered hate speech. Transgender women are men is considered hate speech by these individuals doing these surveys. But they call us fascists. No, that's not hate speech. That's free speech. It's the truth. He's fascist. Whoever controls communication controls the world. And that's what they're trying to do here. They define disinformation broadly from a progressive viewpoint, including statements that deny gender identity, misgender individuals, or challenge transgender ideology. In essence, they want to force social media platforms to suppress our free speech and tilt the false narratives to go their way. It's just another way to push and create and push false narratives. Now, the guy who introduced this, wrote this, Henry Stern, said that the bill holds platforms accountable, like individuals under existing laws or aiding or abetting violence. It's a complete lie. It does not. He's just flat out lying. And, of course, a bought and paid for duck with a C, Ed Howard. He helped draft it. It targets only credible threats of violence. No threats that he deems credible. So, yeah, I am correct. October 12th. There's a decision deadline of October 12th, meaning if Newsom doesn't sign it by October 12th, it becomes law automatically. He's not going to sign it, and it will become law automatically. It'll take effect January 1st. The day it becomes law automatically, the courts will be flooded with lawsuits. It will be probably put on hold until it can be heard. Now, obviously, there's opposition from tech companies. X says it violates the First Amendment by penalizing subjective content judgments and undermining Section 230 protections. Now, I, conservative figures like myself, reality stars, everybody else, it can label criticism of Newsom as hateful. Now, during the Assembly and Privacy and Consumer Protection Committee hearings, lawmakers from both sides were raising concerns. What's the standard for threatening content? Newsom's communications director called Assemblyman Joe Patterson a bald little man. That's hate. In the eyes of a progressive, it was done to a leftist. And then there's the forced settlements. This could become a scam. Well, you need to settle. Just like the newspaper where we would have to, where Google felt it was cheaper to pay this much or that much. And the state will sit there and put that money towards newspaper companies. More nonsense like this. And it's going to force platforms to over-censor legal speech to avoid fines. Look, we conservatives roughly view this as a democratic socialist attempt to ban free speech. And there are national implications. You think they're just going to make their algorithm for California? They'll just do it nationwide. Even CARE, who in my opinion is a terrorist group, even they called on assembly members to vote no. You know why? Because they're the worst offenders of hate speech. Again, Democrats call us fascist, Hitler, hate, get up in their face, all that. Be careful what you wish for. So look, Newsom's decision on SB 771 will expose whether California's leadership is willing to face accountability for weaponizing state power against free speech. Newsom is going to determine that. And he's going to allow it. Thus, he will be part of taking our free speech away. It's going to trigger First Amendment lawsuits. Now, this bill does mirror global censorship trends. UK, Canada, and Australia. Dissent is silenced under the pretense of it's for your own safety. This is nothing but a direct threat to constitutional freedom and demands immediate resistance before it spreads nationwide. All right, my friends. There you have it. There you have it. Look for the Cali Blitz Lightning Round in its own podcast segment later this week. Look, I'm sorry. I get all hot and heavy into these topics, and I try to bring you all the details associated with them. And sometimes that means there's not enough time left for some of the other stories. But I will get those other stories out to you, I promise. And with that, our show is over. Thank you for listening. And don't forget to like and share the podcast. Remember these stories when politics come up. Press your neighbors. Press your peers. Press your Democrat friends to remember what Democrats have done and what they're doing and how it has directly impacted them. And I didn't talk about it this week, but if you can, volunteer to work on fighting against Prop 50. And never forget, the Republican Party in California, we can't count on them. Since Jim Brulte took over right around 2008, 2009, right around there, 10, we have just exponentially lost race after race after race after race. Jessica Milan Patterson, she didn't do anything to stop it, but she collected those little checks on the sign for all the speaking, that speaking, these bonuses, whatever. She monetized the chair into money. In my opinion, I like Corinne Rankin. This is her first big test. We'll see how it works out. Before I go, hit like or thumbs up, and please, please, I beg of you, share this podcast. Then bookmark grumblingsmedia.com. And again, check out our swag, shirts, mugs, hats. And at grumblingsmedia.com, you can check out my Red, White, and Rude podcast, which talks about culture and how politics is downstream of it. That is when, as things happen culturally, it affects politics. And then there's also my points on the board where I talk about the intersectionality of sports and politics. These aren't your everyday average podcasts. They're for the political junkie who needs to be aware of what's happening out there, why it's happening, and how do we fight it. And don't forget, you can follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, ePandora, under the profile of Grumblings Media. Until next week, this is William Del Pilar for Fired Up California. Stay vigilant, stay safe, and get involved.